Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenda Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Monday, February 7th, 2011, episode 70, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Going on a Monday, nothing will, Jamie.
There is nothing I hate more than hearing alarm clocks when I'm not waking up, because I hate hearing alarm clocks when I'm waking up. So we might have to switch that, Glenn. Woo, give me the chills. But I love the song.
Hey, it's time to ride. Well, let's we got a lot to talk about today. We got a lot to do on the show today, but I wanted to mention River Friday show. You had the equestrian texting abbreviations, and I posted them on our Facebook page. And, well, a couple people posted comments on there and came up with some new ones. Phyllis said, and I got part of this, but I can't figure out the one letter. She says L, T as in Tom, H-I-T-M. Well, I know H-I-T-M is hit 'em. So I'm assuming that the L at the beginning is love, but I can't figure out what the T is. So it's L-T-H-I-T-M. So it's love horses in the morning, but what's the T?
Love that horses in the morning.
Oh, I guess that could be it.
Simplify, Glenn.
I was trying to put something fancy in there for that. Anyway, Phyllis, if you could fill us in on what it means, we'd appreciate it. And Michelle had a couple of them, too, that she came up with, our friend Michelle down there in Louisiana. She said, some of my riders and myself came up with some to add to the list. SDR is strangers don't ride. HNIS is horse not in settlement. And GVBNO is got vet bill needed oxygen. So, and
that,
Michelle should
true.
Know something about that right now, about the vet bill thing with Sprite there. So that's the suggestions we had added to the list. If you missed that on Friday, you can go to our Facebook page and find the equestrian texting abbreviations. And Jennifer, tell us what's on the show today.
On today, a really big show. On today's show, we have a fascinating lesson from what I think might be the running back of the Arabian world, the Shagya Arabian. It's going to be a really cool story that Jamie dug out of the woodwork for us. Next up is another installment of Are You Smarter Than a Pony Clubber, where Glenn and Jamie will go up against Morgan, an HB from the Keeneland Pony Club, and USPC Director of Education Connie Jahilik will be our quiz master for the show. Text your friends now so that they can tune in and listen into this really popular monthly feature that we do. And, of course, you can expect plenty of lowbrow humor and high-energy conversation.
Huh, now we're lowbrow. I'll tell you what, Jamie. You guys got me in a whole lot of trouble on Friday, by the way. Started a whole conversation between Alan and Sammy busting my chops on Facebook. And I just want everybody to know that I did not end up sleeping on the couch that night because I have a lovely, sweet wife who is very forgiving. Just wanted to mention that.
Oh, really? So basically, did you give her too much wine or something, and she just forgot about it? Is that what happened? Because you were in some hot water last Friday. First, Alan calls in just to reset for those who didn't hear it. Alan calls in and has, you know, two rodeo queens, last year's rodeo queen and this year's rodeo queen, on the show with him. And Glenn says to him, "Oh, I'm so jealous. You had two pretty girls on your show." Excuse me. First of all, Alan has another co-host that's a female, and you have two pretty girls on your show every morning. So we took offense at that, and all of us have been berating you behind your back and in front of your face all weekend long. So that's what
you get. Pretty much. Yeah, I did take some crap over that one, and Jennifer reminded me of that a few times over the weekend.
Usually in front of our friends.
Yeah, I've been known for putting my foot in my mouth, but that was an extraordinarily good day. I probably had 2 feet in my mouth that day.
Exactly. I like the fact that Alan posted, "Hey, Glenn, you need some dog bowls for the doghouse." And that's so true, too.
Well, not to change the subject, but to change the subject, we are going to start something new here on Horses in the Morning that we're going to do every day. We're calling, you know, you probably did this, I think this term actually, a shout-out, actually started on the radio, didn't it? It's, when on a radio show you say hi to someone or you acknowledge someone in the audience. Did you guys used to do shout-outs in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, the guys that would, you know, do the night shows that catered more towards the young teenagers, they'd be like, "All right, call in right now with your shout-out." And so all these kids would call in and be like, "I'd like to give a shout-out to my Pookie who was, you know, hanging out with us last night and bought the pizza," you know? Just say, "I'd like to give a shout-out to all the people in the movie Twilight because they're my friends," that kind of stuff. So, we did do shout-outs. It was fantastic.
Well, we're going to do our version. We're calling it the Daily Winnie. And what we're going to do is we're going to give our Daily Winnie out to people that follow us on Facebook, to somebody who's done something cool that we know about. It could be anything, but we're basically going to give a daily shout-out, our Daily Winnie, to our most faithful listeners out there. And we have our first Daily Winnie today. And, of course, we can't do a segment like that without a bumper. That's my bumper for the day.
I love it. Well, Glenn, there's no more faithful listener. I mean, and Jennifer, come on, you gotta tell. Who is our most faithful listener of all time?
Well, the folks, of course.
The parents.
Yeah.
The parents are always listening. So
it's a little crazy,
my shout out was,
but it's good.
Yeah. It's fine. I think it's awesome. You know, I live very, very far. My dad lives in Atlanta. My mom lives down in Florida. And I live all the way out here in Arizona. So this is really a way they keep up with me. So I'd like to give a shout-out to my dad, Gene Massey, who is currently in Atlanta, Georgia, and my mom, June Summers, who's living down in Florida right now. So hello.
And Jennifer, your turn.
My
turn. Because we know your parents listen.
Yes, they do. It's, like I said, it's a little scary, creepy, but they've both told me that, yes, they listen in. All my folks listen from up in Pennsylvania, and I'm the luckiest camper in the world because I get two sets. So shout out to Pat and Parker, and shout out to Bill and Alita.
And you know what?
Right.
Janie's dad has called before, but your dad has never called to embarrass you on the air, Jennifer.
And I'm okay with that.
If he's listening right now, he is more than welcome to give us a call at 347-637-3238, and then I'll be sleeping on the couch for sure for mentioning that. But he's more than welcome to call.
You're only on the couch if he actually calls. So, yeah, please call. Anybody give us a call. We'd like to see Glenn on the couch tonight. I think it'd be fun.
That's a good goal. Get Glenn to the couch.
And, of course, a little shout out to Glenn, your parents listening. I'm sure somewhere up in heaven they're listening. So there you
That's
go.
That's right. I'm sure they are. And Jennifer got to, you asked Jennifer if she rode on or was going to get a chance to ride over the weekend. Well, she did. She was so excited and so happy to finally get a nice ride in because we didn't have snow here.
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, you said that you were going to be able to ride because finally the weather had broken. So how'd it go?
It was awesome. The footing still sucks. But our lovely Darcy, Laura Darcy, put some footing into our oval pen. It's not really round, it's oval. So we could do some do some actual riding versus hanging out and go for a trail ride. And Beaker and I are technically retired. We don't compete or do anything. We just goof off. But I felt like doing something besides walk, so we went in the round pen and we practiced former eventer reining skills.
Which are?
Well, Beaker, his previous life, he's always been a Western horse. So he's really much more comfortable with aids given in that school. So I was doing my best to imitate them. I'm not going to say use them because I was really imitating. We were doing some side passes and practicing some rollbacks and stuff. And at a walk and a trot because, you know, obviously we're vacationers. And it was such a hoot. But one of the things that was kind of fun is I put on my Spur Suaders that I got from the lovely folks over at Spur Suader. And they're basically just spurs. They're English spurs.
Yeah.
But instead of the end being pointy or like a hammerhead or a rowel like you would typically see, the end has this big fat round thing on it that looks like a disc. It's a big round disc, like about 3/4 thick. It's huge. And I wore those because kicking and squeezing are just really pretty ineffectual for me and the horse both. And I found that they was so useful because I could just give him the tiniest little gentle tap. And you could feel him go, oh, you're talking to me? And it was wonderful. We got lots of side pass steps. You know, we get 3 or 4 steps in a row. And we got about 3/4 of a roll back from a trot. It was very exciting. So, and then we went out for a walk.
No, all that exhaustion. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Because the Spur Suader, when you mentioned the name, that sounds like something I could use with my thoroughbred because he doesn't have a lot of understanding of the leg, so I picked up a crop. Well, now he's decided that the crop doesn't matter anymore either. I'm going to post some more videos of him going over some bounces. He's doing really great, but he still could use a little bit of encouragement. But I don't want to just put on a spur because I don't think that he would react as calmly as I think he should.
Yeah.
So I would like a more gentler spur. So that's something I'm going to have to look up, Spur Suader. Maybe we can post a picture on Facebook.
Yeah,
so,
and that's funny you say that because she actually originally designed them because she works with a lot of ex-race horses and she wanted something that was effective at getting the horse's attention to go, there's an aid here, you need to pay attention, without the horse going, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, and that sounds pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Well,
I just posted a link to it on Facebook too, and you know her tagline is kinder but effective. So I think that about says it for this first waiter. And she's a really nice lady. She actually has done some tips for me. She's out of Canada. She's done some tips for me on Horse Tip Daily, and this is the first chance Jennifer I think really had to use them because of the winter and all. And it she was really thrilled with them. So that's kind of fun. Hey, I want to give away something. So the first caller to call in and give us the names of Jamie's 2 doggies, 2 puppies, if she calls in with the names of, or whoever calls in with the names of Jamie's 2 puppies, you will win a Horse Radio Network baseball hat signed by the whole Horses in the Morning crew. Jennifer, Jamie, and I have signed the hat, and it will go out to you. So call in for... We don't give away a whole lot of the Horse Radio Network merchandise stuff, so this is... And it's really cool. It has our little logo on it with our funny little microphone horse. So give us a call, and we'll the first one to call 347-637-3238 and tell us the name of Jamie's puppy. You'll win that hat.
Will they only have to give the name of one puppy? Because I don't think I've talked about the fact that the male dog's name is Boomer. So... They only have to call and talk about the other one.
I think they still have to give the name of both puppies.
Yeah. Okay. So Boomer and
Jamie,
the other one, they have to give the name of. Yeah.
You can't win the hat.
Oh, okay. But I don't want that. No, it's fine. I just was clarifying the fact that, you know, unless he did some research on Facebook, I haven't talked about Boomer all that much. So call and give his name and then the female's name.
So who's the naughty one?
People excited.
Is the male, is Boomer or the female the naughty one?
Oh, gosh. I would love to say that Chad's dog, Boomer, is the naughty one because nothing would make me happier. However, my little female is a demon. I mean, she is, like, wild, wild, wild. I mean, nobody gets a moment's rest around here because of that female puppy. Her name is very appropriate because we'll take off, we'll run in, and she'll be sitting there, and she'll sit there and watch you leave. And then she takes off, comes from behind, races past you, and gets to the front every single time. So she has a very appropriate name, I would imagine. That's what I think anyway. Well,
that's good.
Yeah. Well, so Glenn, I got to ask you guys, did you watch the Super Bowl last night, or did you just watch commercials?
We pretty much just watched the commercials, actually. we actually did watch the football game, too. You know, we were kind of rooting for the Packers, so we were happy last night. But you know what? We're not huge football fans. That was probably the first game I watched the whole year all the way through. But, of course, everybody watches it for the commercials. And, you know, we had our favorites. I thought that this batch of commercials was better than probably the last couple of years. But
really?
You know what? Yeah, I do. I think last year stank. We didn't like any of them last year. But this year, you know, Doritos really knocked them out of the park. And I don't know if you know it, but those Dorito commercials were all submissions for their Doritos commercial contest. They were actually generated by their – yeah, they were all fan-generated commercials. Now, they actually, you know, went ahead and recorded them. They submitted videos. A friend of ours actually submitted a video that was very good. I was sorry she didn't get in. But they submit videos, and then they make a commercial out of it, and they win a prize and all that stuff. So those aren't done by ad agencies. Those are done by their fans.
Oh, that makes it even better.
Yeah, and they had some funny ones. The one I'm looking at the USA Today list for the top commercials, and I want to find out what yours were, but there were two tied for the top, and I don't know. I didn't like the one at all. But the one Doritos commercial where the pug goes for the chips and knocks down the door on the guy, that was pretty funny. That was pretty good, Doritos commercial. But the other one that won tied for first place was the Bud Light commercial where the guy throws a party with the dog, and the dogs are – that didn't do much for me.
I must say that – the dog thing and the monkeys that park the car, you know, people love watching animals act like humans. I don't know what the fascination is, but even the monkey thing is me. I look at it and I'm like, oh, those poor monkeys having to work, you know. And then Chad is like, oh, my God, it's so funny. You're driving a car. The monkeys are driving a car. So I think it's just different for every single person, you know. I think that people just love watching monkeys act like humans. But my favorite commercial by far was the one that was for the NFL fans. And it just goes to show you how much, you know, the Super Bowl affects, has affected us and human nature for so many years and pop culture, because they did that ad where it was all the TV commercials, all the television shows, and they pulled clips out of all those different television shows of Super Bowl episodes. I mean, and I wrote down some of them. They had Happy Days, 90210, The Office, The Sopranos, Seinfeld, Friends, Full House, Family Guy, South Park, even Glee, The Brady Bunch, and The Muppet Show. Those were only like half of them that were in that commercial. So I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they did that with the pulling from all those different networks. I mean, every network was on that commercial. So I don't know how they got permission to do it, but it was cool.
Yeah, that was a good one. And, you know, the one that I probably thought was – there were a lot of them, actually, that had funny endings. But the Pepsi Max commercial called Love Hurts, where at the end this pretty girl walks by and sits on the bench next to him, and the wife actually throws a Pepsi Max. He ducks, and it hits the girl in the head, knocks her out. I thought that was hilarious. I absolutely love that commercial. And that was number 5 on the USA Today rankings. That one was really good. But Jennifer, you had a favorite one. It was the finger-licking Doritos one, right? I don't know if she's there. I think she's taking
she's
a call.
Busy.
Yeah, but the finger-licking Doritos one was pretty good, too. That one was funny, in a gross sort of way.
I didn't see that one until we went on usatoday.com and looked at a bunch of them. But the Darth Vader one where the little kid is, like, doing the mind meld or whatever. That's Vulcan mind meld. Whatever he's doing is, like, pointing at the stuffed animal and the baby doll, and then he goes out to the Volkswagen, points at it, and his dad's inside and starts the car from the inside of the house, and he's like, oh my god. Clearly he's magic, you know.
That was pretty
good.
That was cute. That probably wins the cute award this year. Do you know which ones always stink and I never understand them? Is the car commercials. Why is there never any good car commercials? And last of the 60 commercials, Hyundai got the bottom 2, and Mini Cooper was down there too, and BMW. All the bottom 10 were pretty much car commercials.
I liked the one with the beaver. The guy's drive. I don't even know what car it was, but he's driving. Oh, it was Bridgestone Tire, so that wasn't even a car commercial. Because he drove around the beaver, and then the beaver's like, "Thanks, man," you know, gives him a little high five, and then he knocks the tree down. And then bridge gets washed away. That one.
Did you see the Snickers commercial with Roseanne Barr getting knocked out?
Yeah, I could see that 100 times. Roseanne Barr getting.
I loved that one.
I liked it too, yeah. So there were some good ones, but all in all, I was kind of more disappointed in them. I think usually they command a lot more attention, but I was... My judge is that I was fully capable of just walking through the room and not paying attention and chatting with people during the commercials, which is abnormal.
Right. Exactly. No. Yeah. I thought they were better this year. I was all for them this year. I thought that they came out with a better. But you know what? If Doritos is proving that their fans can come up with better commercials than their ad agency, why isn't every company doing that? You know, when you think about it. Why isn't everyone doing that? Well, speaking of fun stuff, over there at RidersForHelmets.com, Lindsay has put together a photo contest that sounds like a lot of fun. What they want you to do is take a photo of you wearing your helmet in any location that's not on your horse. In other words, funny places, places that you wouldn't normally be wearing your helmet, like grocery shopping or if you're at a restaurant or some place where you wouldn't normally be wearing your helmet, take a picture and submit it, and they're going to pick 5 winners out of that. And actually, our friend from Eventing Safety, John, down there from Australia, who is also a listener to this show, is going to be doing the judging on it. And they want you to make sure you have your helmet securely fastened. But you and I are going to have to come up with some places to take pictures and submit them.
I love that. I think it's a great idea. So basically, wear your helmet somewhere random and not anything to do with a horse, and you could win. And I think you win a subscription to Sidelines Magazine. The top 5 original photos will, and I'm sure that they'll be posted on that too. Now, you can email your photos to, and it's lyndscw@hotmail.com, or you can go to riders4helmets.com to find out more. And you can post them on the Riders for Helmet Facebook page, but they will not count as entries. So you have to email them, or you have to just go to riders4helmets.com, and they will be able to show you. So I think it's a cool idea. You know, it does say on here, just like you said, you must show the chin strap on the helmet securely fashioned, because they don't want to promote ill-fitting helmets. So if you have an ill-fitting helmet, they will call you out and tell you.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Good job, Lindsay, and she's been coming up with some clever stuff over there. And I also wanted to mention there was a posting on our Facebook page this morning from Sarah Lee. Sarah's from Ireland, and she was hoping that she could get help from our fans. And I contacted Sarah after this posting, and we're going to try and get her actually on the show on Wednesday morning, but I want to give her a boost here. She's in a competition that Horse Hero, the video site over there in Europe, is doing. And what they're doing is they have five final contestants that did videos that are competing to ride in the Mongol Derby. Do you remember we talked about that? That's the 1,000-kilometer race in Mongolia. Well, Sarah Lee is one of the crazy five that actually wants to go to Mongolia and do the Mongol Derby. And she wants people to watch her video and vote for her. Now, the one thing about Horse Hero is you do have to have a membership to sign in to see the videos, and I think it's free. I'm pretty sure it's free. So I just signed in and voted for her, and I noticed that Barbara voted for her too. So if you can go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and give Sarah some support, you'll see her posting there. She's looking at trying to go to ride in the Mongol Derby. And we're going to try and get her on Wednesday morning from Ireland to talk to us about that. And she's had when you watch her video, you're going to be amazed, Jamie, at the things this girl has done at the age of 31 around the world. I mean, she's done some amazing stuff off the horse and on the horse.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see it. So just that whole Mongol Derby thing is just incredible. And I'm sorry, I worry about safety in other countries with that kind of stuff. But apparently, Sarah is just, a bad A blank blank, she can do it. So I cheer you on, and you are going to get my vote, sister. Just go to our Facebook page to see it. But it's the Sarah Lee Mongol Derby post down there. It's awesome.
Well, speaking
and I think
of that,
what was that?
It is?
No, maybe not. It says by voting on video submissions from the 5th of February on. Okay, so just started.
I think there's a little bit of time yet. Do you remember, what was that movie? I don't think it's quite like that movie. What was that movie where
Hidalgo?
Where he goes over and rides? Yes, it's not quite like Hidalgo, where they go over there and try and kill each other. I don't think they do that anymore. Maybe they do.
And then the Haboob comes, which Haboob is an actual real sandstorm that came running up on him, and then
yes.
They didn't have any water, and there were people trying to kill the whitey. But you know what? He's so hot. Oh, God. Viggo Mortensen.
Hey, do you guys ever get sandstorms? Is that where you are?
Oh, man. When we had the wind going the other day, it was, like I said, I had to double up on the horse's fly masks because it was just so windy and the sand blows. But apparently those happen, that Haboob thing where it's just like this huge wall of sand. It's not as spread out like the one in the movie was miles long. I think they get them here like that, but they're not miles long. The other thing we get are the little mini sand twisters. They can be pretty big, actually. I was tacking up my horse one time and one came over the barn and it knocked over everything and my horse decided to exit the premises. So they can sneak up on you, the little sand cyclone twister things you see in the desert. Plus, I also live in a place where there's tumbleweed, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I don't think I've ever – I have seen tumbleweeds. We actually saw a sandstorm once. One time when we went to Vegas for vacation, Jennifer and I, we went out and drove up to Area 51 and drove along the road there with the little guys watching us. And, we wanted to make them a little nervous. So we were driving along the edge of Area 51 and doing all that thing because we were stupid. And then as we were coming back, when you come back on that highway, you come up over that hill and you see Las Vegas down below you. Well, it was covered. There wasn't Las Vegas. It was covered in a sandstorm. There was a sandstorm going on. And when we actually drove into the city, you couldn't see two blocks down because there was that much sand in the air. It was the most bizarre thing. We've seen it all pretty much in our lifetime. I know. We've had everything you can imagine traveling. Nobody will travel with us anymore because we get hit by hurricanes, lightning storms and floods. And we're just what happens when we travel. So, that was the only time I'd ever seen a sandstorm. But it's just bizarre.
Well,
it's kind of bizarre. And you feel all gritty after.
Oh, it's terrible. You come inside and, just wipe your face and it's, the black. But I would tell everybody, don't drive along Area 51. That's a bad idea.
No, that's probably
a really
bad
idea. Especially not being married to an Air Force pilot. And I'm like, dude, come on. You have to know something. He's like, nope. I'm like, come on.
No.
Just tell me. Just tell me what's in Area 51. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Well, this half hour is fun. I don't think he probably knows either. They keep that pretty quiet. But I want to know someday, darn it. That'd be one thing that would be cool about being president, is you find out. You think every president, everybody goes in on the first day and says, okay, what is it? I want to know. It's like a thing you really want to know. This half hour is sponsored by Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals. They create only natural health products. They're scientists guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, who we got to spend a few minutes with last week on the show, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many of your horse's equine health problems. And I know you use one of their products, don't you, for one of your horses?
I do. My thoroughbred, who was the one that was the starvation case and the abuse case, you know, he went through, we put him on a lengthy course of omeprazole, which is like the ulcer medication, but that stuff's very expensive, and I just couldn't maintain it, so he got a short course of it, and then I put him on the Biotic 8, which is basically all sorts of, not yogurt cultures, but that kind of thing, where probiotics, thank you. and I put
I'm glad
him on
I could
that,
help.
And thanks, yeah, you did great. You did great, Glenn. So I put him on that, and I'm telling you, I'm getting more done with him because his tummy doesn't hurt. So it's a blend of nature and science, and that's what they consider themselves, is the perfect marriage of nature and science. So check them out at omegaalpha.ca. They've got products for every end of the horse. So check it out and tell us what you think. You know, if you're on anything, definitely give us a call. Let us know. Omegaalpha.ca is the website.
All right, great. Well, it looks like our first guest is ready to go.
Yeah, I got to tell you a little bit about our first guest. I was standing at my friend down the street. They have a covered riding arena, so I go over there and ride all the time, and I'm friends with all the boarders, and it's nice to have a place to go. So I was riding my horse around, and I saw or I overheard Steve Lonnie talking about this Shagya Arabian, and Steve was going into the history and the depth of this particular kind of Arabian that is very, very special. And I was listening to him tell this story, and I'm like, that guy has to be on the air. Steve has to be on the air to tell us his story, because he has a Shagya Arab, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about him. So, first of all, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, though, Steve and I are Facebook friends. Happy birthday. You didn't tell me it was going to be your birthday.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd leave that part out. I hate to, you know, center everything on myself. No, I'm planning a great day. I was already congratulated by my wife first thing in the morning, so it looks like it's going to be a good one.
Oh, well, that's good. If she starts out, you know, happy with you, that's a good thing. Steve spends a lot of time with his horses, and I often wonder how his wife puts up with him. But then it's kind of reverse psychology, because, you know, I spend a lot of time with my horses, and my husband's fine with it. So does she ever get bothered that you – Steve is a trail rider, endurance rider, and does she ever get mad that you take off for hours at a time?
You know, she keeps quiet about it, but she's been a great horse mom. Patty doesn't ride herself, but it's interesting that you brought it up. Now, she's a great wife in all regards, and actually, the way I got this little Shagya was he was given to me as a birthday present by my wife 2 years ago.
Aww.
So that's a hard one to top. I don't know what to expect today. I'm looking forward to it, though.
She's carrying that gift on. Remember 2 years ago I gave you the Arab, so there you go. That's your birthday present this year.
It's going to be hard for me to keep up now.
Absolutely. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about this horse. And first of all, when you look at this horse, he is a bigger, thicker, almost more intelligent version of every other Arab I've seen. And tell us about the breed and your horse.
Well, I think pretty much everybody in the horse world knows about the Arab, of course. I mean, it's the foundation breed for so many other of the light horse breeds, and they're great horses, you know, in all regards. I love them, and I kind of got on to Arabians by accident. I like all horses, of course, as you know, but These Shagas, they're a breed that has an interesting background. They're a larger, heavier boned horse. They're stronger and more capable in most physical regards. They have this amazing gait. It's almost a floating gait, so they're just a fantastic horse under saddle. And as far as riding horses go, I think they're just about the perfect combination of traits. But the Arab, if it has one drawback, it's that it's a little bit of a, people think that they're a little bit flighty. I would use that term. And so you have to, really be quite a rider to ride an Arab. You don't relax on an Arabian, let's put it that way. But the Shaga, and it is a true Arabian, it's a larger horse. As I said, a heavier boned horse. They're a little more muscular, but they're still compact. And they still have all the other traits of an Arab. They have amazing endurance and stamina, very easy keepers. They don't need much in the way of, supplemental feeds or anything, even when they're working hard. They've been excelling in jumping, in eventing, in everything, every use that they're put to, they seem to do real well. So just a great all-around horse and a little bit easier going disposition, kind of a mellower horse in a lot of ways. And curious, I can't tell you. I mean, you've seen mine, little Cy over there, and of course he's only a two-year-old, so he's still a bit of a baby. But he's got his nose in everything and just the sunniest little disposition I've ever seen in a horse. And never an ounce of meanness or any vices in any way. He's just so playful that he's almost like a puppy.
Well, and Steve, that's what impressed me, I think, the most about him was, here's this two-year-old that is, basically just starting his training now. And you came over. By the way, they have racehorses galloping around the track at this place. There's horses on the hot walker. There's somebody working a horse in the round pen. And here's Steve standing there talking to us for half an hour about the breed while this two-year-old is standing completely still. Just like, hey, how's it going? I'm hanging out. Like, totally hanging out with us. And I was so impressed by his demeanor. And, I mean, my 10-year-old warm blood would have been freaking out with all that going on. So just the fact that he was so chilled out, I said I had to find out more.
Well, that's another kind of universal quality about this breed is that they literally, really love people. And I'm not just saying that. If you pet Cy on the nose, he'll follow you home. And he's been that way with everybody we've ever met. And he almost, I mean, it's almost like a mystical quality if he's around other horses, he calms them down, and he's the kid in the group. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about him. And, and I have to back up here a second and say that I'm not a breeder and I'm not selling anything. I kind of get my horses by accident. They almost find me. My other two are, rescued and adopted horses, and you take what you get with that kind of a horse and you try to bring them up to the highest potential you can, and they're great. But nothing like this horse. No, they're definitely people horses, and that's one of the qualities that's been bred into them over the years, because they were originally used as cavalry mounts. I mean, they were used in battle. So these horses had to be amazingly resilient, very tough, very strong, but they also had to be calm, and they had to be trusting. So imagine yourself going from, a pasture somewhere in the countryside to the middle of a battle with cannon fire next to you and explosions all around, and you still have to do your job. Well, that's pretty amazing background for any horse, any animal at all.
You have to be probably brave. Yeah.
Are they used for endurance too a lot?
Yes, the horse is, as I mentioned, very versatile, but they have all the traits of an Arab, and they've been excelling in endurance. As I said, they're a bigger horse and a bigger framed horse, so they can carry more weight over longer distance. They have tough feet, very clean legs. I mean, it's a very well-put-together horse. If there's a breed that they remind me of, it would probably be a really well-bred Morgan with a shorter back, a finer head, bigger hindquarters, and better feet. Under saddle, they're probably the best horse I've ever seen, And it's a real consistent trait in the breed. They're very carefully bred. Records have been kept back hundreds of years. So you know what you have coming out of the box, and that's something that you can't say with a lot of breeds. You know, I mean, in this day and age, I think there's some overbreeding going on, and you have to see the horse and you have to watch him for a while before you know what you have. With the Shagya, you know what you have right away.
And are they mostly gray? It looks like they're mostly gray from what I see.
No, they come in all the Arab colors. They can be anything from almost white to coal black. And the breeder that I acquired mine, the little Sai from, she raises mostly black Arabians and black Shaggy Arabians. He came out bay. I like to say he's kind of dirt colored. You know, he doesn't show the dirt, which is another trait that I like. But they do have a fine, soft coat. They do grow a winter coat, of course, for their own health and safety. But it's almost like an easier horse to groom, if you know what I mean. They don't have that rough guard hair coat in the winter, and they seem to almost kind of take care of themselves in terms of cleanliness and grooming. The mane is kind of medium length, and the tail is long and fine, carried high like the Arab breed, and they're just a real good-looking horse all around. But no, they come in all colors. The foundation stallion, Shaggy, they're not shaggy, by the way. That's kind of a misnomer. The original stallion, the foundation of the breed, was named Shaggy, and that's how the breed got its name. But in endurance, they're excelling in endurance all over the country and really all over the world at this time. There aren't too many of them. I mean, they're not real well known.
How many do you think there are in the U.S.?
You know, I checked on that, Jamie, and Sai is his registration number is in the 200s, and so that was a couple years ago. And I want to say I could have probably checked further, but I remember asking at the time there were about 250. So they're probably between 300 and 400 of these horses in the U.S. right now. Not too many at all. They're not a real common breed at this time. They're enjoying a resurgence, of course, because they're starting to be rediscovered.
Well, I tell you, I was on equine.com, and I only found one for sale, so there aren't a whole lot. But they actually were on the list of breeds, which I was wondering if they would even be on the list. And this one for sale is in Oregon for $1,900. It's a purebred Shagya Arabian filly, so 18 months old. There you go, Jamie. You can add it to your collection. Probably be pretty good down there in the desert.
I was going to say, Glenn,
I'll just
other
go
than
ride Sai.
I was going to say, you two, you know, if you want to acquire your own Shagya, probably you could get one now at a bargain price, of course, in this economy, and all you'd have to pay is the shipping. I don't know if they'll fit in those. I don't know if they'll fit in those standard postal boxes or not.
Well, Steve,
no,
you
really have to know them to love them, and they are a great horse all around.
Well, I have to tell them too. Don't just have, you know, you're not just a Shaggy guy. I just happened to stumble upon you talking about your 2-year-old, but you do have some other Arabs as well. And Steve is one of those guys that's at the barn every morning and is trailering his horses all the time, heading out out on the trails, and never a dull moment with Steve riding. One of my girlfriends got to go out to the desert with him and said, "Let me just tell you, you better hang on."
No, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. And you know, I kind of watch the horses to see how they feel, and they're very capable and very willing all the time. And I'm really looking forward to this little guy because he's going to be even more so, I can tell already.
So for Shagyas, it's a completely separate registry from Egyptian Arabians and Polish Arabians because they're all combined, right?
Correct. You can have an Egyptian Arabian and a Polish Arabian, of course, and they would be registered as a purebred Arabian. My horse's registry, he actually has two registries. He's a purebred Shagya and a purebred Arabian. So I have two registration certificates on him.
So you can
they can be together.
A Shagya can be both.
And,
but unless you, okay, I'm just trying to figure out the ins and outs. So if you're a person who likes that Arab sort of animal, you want to look towards that, and you're curious about that breed. You want to look for Shagya specifically because it's the bigger, better, more improved SUV version.
Correct.
That's, I like
that's, it. That's a good way of putting it. In fact, these horses were originally, as I mentioned, cavalry horses, so it's sort of like if you were back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, you'd be driving a Humvee that gets very, very good mileage. But, yeah, the breed quality and the breed registry goes back about 200 years to originally in Hungary. And as I said, the records were very carefully kept, and currently there are just a couple of Arabian stallions that meet the registry criteria for being, you know, for using for breeding Shagyas. And the mares, of course, are Shagyas, and most of those that are in this country originally came from Europe. Or there were a few here right after World War II. In fact, George S. Patton, General Patton, old blood and guts, acquired a stallion and a mare when he was in Europe. Of course, he then was subsequently killed, and the horses disappeared in the U.S. for a number of years until they were rediscovered in, I believe, in the early 70s. So there was a while there when nobody knew what they had.
So they're sort of like the hybrid Humvee, That's what we can correlate them to.
Well, I think they're better than a Humvee. But, you know, if you can imagine back in those days, in the early 1800s, wars were fought, of course, on horseback. They didn't have the technology they had today. And
frequently,
in fact, almost always, the army that went into battle with the best horses tended to prevail. Well, this is an interesting history that this horse has, because at that time in Central and Southern Europe, of course, they were battling the Turks, and the Turks were basically cutting a pretty wide swath across Southern Europe, and the Germans and Hungarians, the Poles and the Czechs, were looking down the curved blade of a scimitar and wondering what they were going to do. And every time they would go into battle, these people on these little, light, fast Arabian horses were running circles around them. So it was sort of an era of the change in technology of warfare. The Europeans were riding these big, heavy horses that were used to carrying a lot of weight, and an armored soldier with all his weaponry. Certainly they were a big, strong, capable horse, but they weren't very fast, and they didn't have the stamina and endurance that the Arabs had, so they had a problem. And so what they did was they snuck down to North Africa, or the area that is now, I believe, Syria, and agents of the Hungarian government acquired this Arabian stallion, Shagya. Well, they had made several previous attempts, and they hadn't had good luck with breeding a smaller, lighter cavalry horse until then, and they brought this horse up, and this horse was very prepotent. It was a good breeding horse, and they came out with the perfect breed. Well, subsequently they started to do a lot better riding this improved horse, the Shagya Arabian, and it really revolutionized their army and their style of fighting. But then they realized that this horse had these other qualities, and they became a renowned horse for show and parade, and it was actually an honor to ride a Shagya in review, because it was kind of a status symbol. So a lot of parallels with what's going on today, I think.
Yeah, well, Steve, I was going to say, you know, you're out there working with your status symbol, riding your status symbol around. See, it is like a Humvee.
Well, like I said, he was a birthday present. Most of my horses follow me home. That's how I get them.
Well, Steve, where can people find out more about the Shagya breed? And I want to just spell it for everybody. S-H-A-G-Y-A. S-H-A-G-Y-A as the Shagya. And I know we have Shagya.net. Any other websites you would direct people to find out more?
Yes, can I do a shameless plug?
Please.
Okay, my horse came from Elaine Kerrigan. That's KerriganBloodstock.com. K-E-R-R-I-G-A-N.
And then please go ahead and send us a picture of Sai so we can post it on our Facebook page and everybody can see see your tank of an Arab. You know?
Oh,
and he's only
two. I sure
two.
Will.
Thank
he's
you,
only
Steve.
Two.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And, you know, we got to wish you another happy birthday. Yay.
Well, thank you, Jamie. And thank you, Glenn. Have a good day.
All right. Happy birthday, Steve.
All right. So long now.
Maybe you'll get another horse today.
I was going to say, yeah, you're going to have to let us know if he gets another horse so that we can have him back on to talk about the other rare breed that his wife found for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this time it's going to be this kind of Arab. No, you know, I was just so impressed by this horse. And, you know, and I love all horses and I love the Arab breed. And just to see a horse this calm at two, it was
any horse.
Yeah, just calm it too, and like you said, he just climbed right in your pocket. So it was pretty cool, and it was great to meet the horse and learn a little bit more about him. So, it is time for our daily song, but of course, you know, we have to tell you about Pocket Stable. So, Glenn, please do.
Pocket Stable is the only application that you're going to need to keep track of your horse and all the information about your horse: vaccines, worming, farrier, dentist, all of that stuff. You can keep all of that together and easily accessible right on your iPhone for only $3.99. Just go to the App Store and look up Pocket Stable or go to pocketstable.com. We're going to be back right after the song from Marianne Kennedy. You can find all of her music at mariannekennedy.com. We're going to be back to play Are You Smarter Than a Pony Clubber? My prediction is Jamie's going to do okay and I'm going to stink. That's my prediction. But speaking of that, I thought about that. I thought, you know, I'm probably going to stink at this game because I'm a horse husband. What do I know? But then that made me think of cleaning stalls because that's smelly. And then it got me thinking, we haven't played Cleaning Stalls by Marianne Kennedy in a long time.
What goes in must come out. break them level. It looks so neat as to give the horses one more treat. Head of the house for another cup. This time of day, life's looking up. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall. When I'm cleaning stalls. That's right.
That's Marianne Kennedy and Cleanin' Stalls. That has to be one of my favorite songs of hers, and you can find it at MarianneKennedy.com. And it's more than appropriate for the segment we have coming up here on Horses in the Morning by Omega Alpha. And we're going to find out how smart we are now, Jamie. I'm a little concerned about this because, you know, as I said, I'm a horse husband. What do I know? Now, you have a better chance, but you were never in Pony Club either. So
I was never, yeah. We didn't we didn't have a pony club around, so never was. But I'm up to the challenge, and Glenn, I think you're going to surprise yourself. I think that Jennifer has taught you more than you know.
All right, well, we'll find out. Let's introduce our guest here. We have Connie I think it's I don't even know how to say Connie's last name. We'll find out. She is the director of education of the Pony Club. How do you say your last name, Connie?
Jellick.
Jellick. Okay, good. Uh-huh. So it's Connie Jellick. You're Director of Education. You're a good one to do this segment with us today. And you, how long have you been with the Pony Club?
I've been here at the National Office since June, but I'm a graduate Pony Clubber myself and since I was 11 years old, so I've been around it for a long time.
All right, good, cool. Now, Connie, we didn't get a chance to talk ahead of time, so I didn't get a chance to say the questions that are the easiest ones go to Glenn. The hard ones go to Jamie. I just want to clarify that, okay? And then we have a challenger here who, can you introduce her? Do you want to introduce Morgan?
I actually, not sure if I've met Morgan before. I probably have at Keeneland Pony Club, but I know that she's an HB, and she's in high school here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, let's welcome Morgan to the show. Hi, Morgan, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hi, thank you, guys.
Well, you know, Morgan,
hey, Morgan.
You have to be kind to us because I'm a little concerned that you're going to whoop our butts.
I'll be as nice as I can.
Hey, Morgan, I have a question for you. Did you used to ride at Champagne Run?
I have actually never ridden at Champagne Run. I'm actually with Kathy Weishoff right now, but I have competed against the Champagne Run kids, and I do all their shows. I support them.
Awesome. Yeah, your name sounded familiar, and there was a Morgan when I taught over at Champagne Run back in the which we would make her a high schooler now. So that's why I thought, just checking, just seeing if I knew my competition. And if you ride with Kathy, she's going to kick our butt, Glenn.
I know. I'm a little concerned about that. So how did you get out? Are you playing hooky from high school today to play this game with us?
Well, I actually had to get special permission to leave, but they were very excited about it. So I'm actually sitting in the middle of my school right now talking to you guys. So
it's very exciting. How cool is that? That's cool.
It is.
All right, good. Well, that means you better win or you're going to take a lot of harassment later in the day. I'm going to call all your friends
exactly.
And tell them you lost.
Exactly.
All right, so how are we playing this, Jennifer?
This is how it's going to work. Connie is our quiz master. She's asking the questions, being the director of education and all, and she will direct the question to a specific person. We'll do a little round robin style, so we can go alphabetically if we like, and we will wait about a minute or so, 30 seconds to a minute, while you hem and haw. And if you don't get your answer, we will open it up to the other two people on the line and see if they can get it. And we'll kind of keep score points as we go along. We'll just do a point per correct answer just to make it simple. I get to keep score. Glenn starts with a -3 after Friday's show, so he has some time to make
great.
Up.
Love it.
And that's how we'll do it. Okay, any questions?
No, I just wanted to say that anybody that wants to help me can post the answers on Facebook, and I will keep that open during the segment.
No, don't do it. Don't help them.
All righty. Is everybody ready? And go ahead, Connie, with your first question.
Who's it for?
Okay. Let's see. Glenn, we'll start with you. So I'll go alphabetical. That'll make it fair.
All right, good. I'm ready.
Okay. So these are, I'm pulling some questions from what we call our quiz bank. And so I'm going to give you a D question here. And Glenn, here it is. How many beats are there to the walk?
Four?
Yay!
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay.
Well, I figured I had 4 feet. It had to be 4 beats. That's the only reason I came up with that.
Good thing you didn't ask him about the trot.
Yeah, when a guy said four. Yeah, I got one. All right, cool. Hey, by the way, I just want to let everybody know I'm winning right now. Who's up
okay.
next? Jamie?
So,
yeah, Jamie?
Let's see. I guess Jamie's next. And
okay.
Jamie, here we go. Name one kind of tissue that may be involved in a sprain.
A ligament?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Is that right? All right, good.
Yes, tendon or ligament. All right. Okay, Morgan. All right. Name the disease that the symptoms of sweet pea poisoning mimic.
Sweet pea poisoning. Let's see.
Oh, she got a hard one.
Let's see. Is it name the symptoms you said? Or name the disease?
Name the disease.
Which the symptoms?
That's a very good question.
You want to phone a friend?
I'm going to go with everything leads back to colic in some shape or form.
Well, it could be on that one. It doesn't list those as the answers, laminitis or azoturia.
Dang, that was hard.
Yeah,
that was hard.
Was a
that's
hard one.
Why.
But she gave you a hard one.
It's azoturia out of Pony Club Manual. That's why.
Yep, they did.
Morgan,
so,
I would have said colic too, sister. I would have
said,
yeah.
I love the way she thinks. Everything and everything goes back to colic in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
in some
right.
way.
I like
yeah.
that.
So that was good. We could give that one to her. So.
All right, we'll give that to her. I'll give her a bell.
All right. That was a weird one. Sorry. But that I'm just trying to randomly pick one, and my eye went to that one.
Oh, no, make it tough on that pony clubber. Make it tough.
Yeah, give her the harder.
I am giving her the harder questions. She is at the higher level, so. Okay, Glenn, you ready?
I'm ready.
All
right.
Wait a minute. Did we do
oh.
Jamie?
Yeah, Jamie.
Oh, yeah,
she got,
and we did Morgan.
Jamie.
So Jamie
yep.
got hers, Morgan got hers. Everybody's got a point. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Keep up, scorekeeper.
All right, Glenn, when turning your pony while mounted, what do you do with your eyes?
Close them?
Is that your final answer?
Oh, no, I don't think so. That's what I do. You asked what I do. What you should do is probably look to the direction that you're going.
Yes.
Yay! I get a bell, too.
Yay.
I close them. That's what I do. But, you know, I do this. The topic is probably look where you're going because that's an important part of not getting wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next.
Okay. I can tell it.
All right, Jamie, which of the horse's teeth should be floated?
Let's see, float all of the back teeth, which are the, let's see, you've got the front teeth or the incisors, and you've got the wolf teeth, which the wolf, and I'm sorry, the canines, then the wolf teeth are pulled, and then what are the back teeth called? The molars. Thank you.
Yes.
Look at you go. Look at you go. I didn't think you'd get all of those. I thought maybe you'd come up with molars and nothing else. But I'm impressed.
Had to work through it.
All okay. right, Morgan. Now we're ahead of you, Morgan. You got to keep up here.
I'm going to try.
Okay, Morgan. Which skin disease can your horse pass to you?
Skin disease that can be passed to you. Let's see.
No multiple choice or anything? God.
Yeah. I would say probably ringworm.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right,
good
Morgan.
One. That
was smart. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of ringworm.
Well, yeah, and just as an FYI, is ringworm technically a skin disease, or is it a...
Mm-hmm. It's a
parasite.
It's a fungus, isn't it?
The fungus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it can go to you. It's not. We call it ringworm because it's in the shape of a ring, but it's not really a worm at
right.
all. It's a fungus.
All right, nice. Cliff Clavin.
Okay, I'll shut up now. Keep
it looks like we're still
she
tied.
She's an A pony clubber. She knows more than all of us. So Jen, you don't count in this competition.
Okay, Glenn, you ready?
I'm ready. We're all tied.
All right. Let's see. All right. If your pony is sick or off his feed, what warm mixture might you feed him?
A little rum and Coke. No, that's probably not right. A hot toddy? No. I happen to know this, what the heck is that stuff called? Okay, I'm drawing a blank here. I've only mixed it 1,000 times for Jennifer. It's powdery. What is it called?
Time is up. Come on.
Oh, I can't think. I can't remember. All right.
Okay. So now, does it go to Jamie now?
It goes to me, and it
would go to me next, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to go, although I loved your answer, hot toddy, because that's what I like to have when I'm sick. It's a bran mash.
Oh, darn it.
Yay.
I knew that, too. Darn.
So Jamie gets the point. Yay.
Yes. Okay,
hey,
now does Jamie
yeah.
get another question?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And Glenn, you're losing. You're losing, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Okay. All right, Jamie, where is the center of gravity on a horse when standing still?
The center of gravity when standing still. I would say the chest?
No, we've got a little further back.
Well,
oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now it goes to it. Now he got it wrong. So it goes
sorry.
To Morgan.
That's right. I'm not
yeah,
supposed
goes to
say.
To Morgan to go. So, Morgan, what, you know the answer?
The center of gravity when the horse stands still should be probably somewhere towards the center of the back, more between the withers and the loins, I would say.
Well,
do we have to keep going?
Just like half right. So, I guess to Glenn.
Well, then that only leaves one spot. It's getting easier here. I would say toward the back of the back at the beginning of the butt.
Oh,
no.
Nope. No?
Is it the heart?
Yes, the heart. So behind his elbow near the girth.
Yeah.
So the withers was close, but then she said too far, all the way to the loin, and then that would be too far. So that was a hard one.
Oh,
yeah.
Everybody chooses.
Nobody
all right,
gets
so Morgan,
a point on that one.
Again.
Back
okay,
to Jamie.
But,
I missed it first.
No, actually, it's back to
no,
Morgan
we'll
now.
No, we'll go to Morgan.
Yeah.
We'll go to
yep,
Morgan.
Morgan's
yeah.
up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Name two good sources of carbohydrates for horses.
All right. Carbohydrates and horses.
Potato chips do not count.
Okay. I would say I'm going to go with grains and some kind of hay.
Yes.
Yay.
Good job, Morgan. Yay.
So not rices and pastas.
Exactly.
I was kind of thinking of sticky buns, but... And I want to thank Phyllis for writing in. She writes in on Facebook trying to help me out. She says the answer is yes.
Well,
thanks, Phyllis. Appreciate it. So what's the score, Jennifer?
Currently the score is Glenn 2, Jamie 3, Morgan 3.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got to catch up. Okay,
yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay, Glenn, you ready?
Yep,
right.
I'm ready.
All right. How often should your pony have salt to eat or lick?
That should be there all the time. They should have it available
Yay.
At all times.
Ding,
and
ding,
it
ding,
should
ding.
Be, what kind of salt, Jamie?
Redmond Rocks.
There you go. It should be Redmond Rock salt. That's correct. Hey, I get that one.
Yay!
All right, cool. That was an easy one. Thank you.
Very good.
Appreciate that, Connie. I'll pay you later.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. So, Jamie, what is another name for equine distemper?
I was going to say parvo. That's dog so. equine distemper is distemper. I want to say, is it rabies?
No.
Perv.
Okay, Morgan.
Equine distemper strangles.
Yay!
Way to go, girl.
Well
Way
done.
To go. Wow, that puts Morgan in the lead. What's that? And it's Morgan's time up, too. She can get an extra bonus point here.
There we go.
Oh, okay, so Morgan gets another one if she answers that correct?
Yep,
Got
yep.
It.
Yep,
sure. We can change the rules anytime we want here.
No. Okay. All right, Morgan. Give an example of what you can feed a horse to provide fatty acids.
Fatty acids in horses is going to be like oils. Fish oil is one.
Hamburgers.
Yes, I can go with hamburgers too.
If they eat it. Okay.
Yeah. There's no guarantee with that.
Okay. All right. So is that your answer or so?
I'm gonna go with most types of like oily kind of foods, and like flax seeds and things like that.
Okay, well, let's see. I think we can give it to her. I don't know if my horse would eat fish oil, but corn oil, wheat germ oil, barley oats, flax wood.
Believe it or not, Connie, here in Lexington, we have a
do
lot
guys feed
of
a fish?
People who feed their horses fish oil. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I'm originally not from here, so I guess so. She's got it then. All right, I learned something.
Fish oil, it does smell nasty. I don't know why they eat it black.
Yeah.
So what's the score, Jennifer? Who's? I guess that puts Morgan in the lead here.
Yes, Glenn 3, Jamie 3, Morgan 5.
Oh.
Woo, Morgan!
Woo-hoo.
Is it
on.
Wrong? Is it really wrong to want to beat a high schooler so bad? Is that wrong?
I guess it's
my turn. All right, I'm ready.
All right, Glenn, here we go. How often should your pony or horse be shod?
Every 6 weeks.
Yay!
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I noticed
good.
You gave yourself the bell before you knew the answer.
I was thinking really positive there. Jamie, you lose this
okay.
one.
Okay.
I could beat you
right.
here.
Let's see. Okay. Name one American breed that has been bred for easy, comfortable distance riding.
Tennessee Walking Horse.
Yay.
Where's my bell, Glenn? Thank you.
All right, there it is.
And our favorite Tennessee walking horse is?
Ivory Tail.
Yes. And our second favorite is Craving Blue. Hi, Craving Blue.
Okay. My first favorite is Push. I better say that because it's a client of mine.
Oh, yeah, that's your dressage walking horse, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hi, Push. Okay, go ahead. Morgan's turn.
Okay. Morgan, name a document you should carry with you when trailering your horse to a show.
The Coggins test.
Yay.
Good job.
That Morgan is on a roll.
She's still in the lead, isn't she, Jennifer?
She is. That gives her six. So, folks, this is the final round.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Uh-oh. All right, Connie, go for it. Give him
Jamie
questions.
And I are tied, right?
Jamie and Glenn are both at four. Morgan is at six.
Okay, you got to ask a really hard one for Jamie because I want bragging rights till next month.
Yeah.
Okay, Glenn, you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Name one way your pony can get thrush.
Standing in wet, mucky goop.
Yeah, all right. Wet, mucky goop.
Goop is one of Glenn's favorite words.
That's the technical term, goop.
Well, it's close, but we'll take it. You're just a D, so we're going to take it. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Jamie. Let's see. All right, name two good qualities that are desirable in a horse's knees and hocks.
Ooh. I would say knees and hocks. Good qualities would be plenty of joint space. Let's see, and another good quality in hocks would be that they're straight.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
You don't want a cow hock horse. You don't want a horse that's over in the knee, back at the knee. You want straight.
Right. Okay.
Yay.
Did you get it?
Yeah. Now, in Pony Club, I use the term loosely because I'm not technically a Pony Club member anymore, use a lot of terms that have a European origin and a lot of terms that maybe folks who didn't go through the Pony Club process might not be familiar with anymore. So, Connie, could you tell us and our listeners what the Pony Club calls those, what terms they use for the answers? Because Jamie got the answer right, but she used a different, more modern term.
Correct. These are some of the terms, right? Wide, flat, clean, clearly defined. So those were some of the terms that they had used. But she's right on
that because the Shaggy Arabians we had on our show notes their breed standard, and a common term used to be flat or dry when talking about horses' joints.
Yes. All I know, Jennifer, is that when you do a pre-purchase exam and you take a radiograph of, it's not the knees, it's the carpus, you would like to have a very healthy joint space in there with a lot of lubricating joint fluid. So there you go. I'm Cliff Clavin. What's up?
And that's why you have
point.
That's right. And that's why you have a quiz master, so I have to kind of determine that you explained yourself and we accept it. That's great.
I think that counts for an extra point for me, so that would be
Wait a minute. No bell on that one.
Okay.
And I think Morgan gets her last shot here.
Well, before we move on though, just quiz I'm gonna ask the quiz master. Does Jamie get an extra half a point for carpus? I think she should.
Carpus.
Well,
it's actually not the knee. The knee is actually the stifle. Mm-hmm. The carpus would be our wrist, which is the horse's what we call, in air quotes, the knee. How
about
that?
I'm a scorekeeper, so I'm giving you an extra half a point for anatomy.
Oh, wait a minute here.
Wow. I'm not going to get the dog in the middle of this one.
Last chance.
Doghouse one.
Okay, Morgan. Morgan, why is it important to rotate the type of dewormer drug used?
Because parasites can become accustomed to the dewormer and once the parasite gets into the horse, they're not going to, the dewormer's not going to fight off that parasite, and your horse is going to get worms. So you should rotate them at least every 3 to 5 months.
Okay. All right. So she just put it in another. That's correct. Doesn't
develop. That's actually not correct. If
there's a challenge.
I have a challenge. Because she's saying that basically you want to rotate dewormers, but the reason you actually rotate is because some dewormers don't kill all parasites. Like ivermectin will get bots, but strongid doesn't. So that's why you rotate. It's to get all the different various types of worms. Thank you.
But here you go. If you use a wormer that gets all of them, and some of them do, you still have to rotate them because of resistance.
They can build up a resistance.
That's right.
Actually,
so both answers are correct.
If you were fighting resistance, you wouldn't just deworm willy-nilly. What you would do is you would take a fecal sample into your local veterinarian. They would analyze it. I am such a nerd. Morgan,
yes.
You kicked
yes.
my butt. I'm just mad.
Morgan, she is not competitive at all.
No, she's
not.
At
all.
I'm sorry. I'm not giving you the extra half a point this time.
Morgan, congratulations. Yay, Morgan. Beat us good.
Yay, Morgan!
Hey, Morgan, I got to tell you, too, when I promoted this on Facebook earlier, I made a mistake, and I put you in HA, so you've been promoted.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I don't have to take that rating now. Thanks.
No tests for you. You just get it. You're friends with us. You got it. I'll just we'll call Connie later and take care of that.
Okay.
Way to go, Morgan. Good job, Jamie and Glenn.
Glenn doesn't know anybody. Don't put that on your business card. Don't. You'll be wrong.
Thank you so much, Morgan, for joining us today. We really appreciate it and taking time off of school to just have a little fun. Like that was a hard request. And Connie, you were great. Thank you so much for asking us the questions. Will you come back and stump us again?
Sure. That was fun.
All right. Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Can't believe Morgan, the high schooler, kicked our butt, Glenn. Amazing.
And because of a ruling by my wife, I lost. How does that work?
I'm going to tell you how it works. First of all, I'm going to give you two or three answers. First of all, the fact that you get a question, how many beats are in the walk, and then my question is, what's another name for equine distemper? Are you kidding me? Second of all, you're in the doghouse, my friend. You lose no matter what just for being the boy who said that Alan had all the pretty girls on his show. Suck it. That's what you get.
See, when she asked how many beats were in the walk, she didn't say hoof beats. So I was a little worried Glenn was going to say, you know, how many heartbeats or something.
Hey,
I'm impressed that he knew the difference.
I did pretty well, actually, considering, don't you think? I did all right.
You did just fine for a horse husband. I think you
did
horse husband proud.
Glenn, if you're happy with last place, you did great, my friend.
I did great. I'm happy with that because nobody loses. I got a song I have to play for you guys one day this week. It was the funniest thing. It was on the Bob and Cherry show, and I think it was written for the Bob and Cherry show, so I'm just going to credit them, and we'll play it later this week. And it talks about that. It talks about kids and, you know, how kids are always told today that they're special and everything. Well, this song is called You're Not So Special. And it is hilarious. I'll have to play that. Remind me to play that someday this week. Anybody that has done a lesson with kids and is an instructor will relate to this song, and you're going to laugh your butts off. So I'll have to get that for you later this week.
Or they've done a lesson or a competition with you, and clearly you're like, nobody's a loser, everybody's a winner. Well, you're not so special, Glenn. You're not so special.
I only say that when I lose. That's the only time I say that.
Exactly. Now, if you'd have won this competition, you'd have been singing, you're a loser, you're a loser. You'd have played that song, Soy un perdedor, you're a loser, baby.
I had it loaded up here, ready to go, but now I can't play it. thank you, Jennifer. That was fun. We'll have to do that again next month. That was a good time.
Yeah, that was. Maybe
we'll
convince one of our listeners to call in and participate.
Oh, that'd be fun,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Our listeners smarter than a pony clubber.
Oh, there you go.
Now, the one thing I learned is that Jennifer is never allowed to play this Miss A-rated
no.
pony clubber, like, knew everything. So I don't even want her near us. She is a scorekeeper.
Well, you know, as an FYI for the competitive listeners in our audience, and I know there's lots of them, all of these questions and answers, about 80% of them are available by way of the United States Pony Club website. They have tons of stuff up there. They just go into the files and read it. So if you want to give yourself an edge and then Facebook that you want to participate, hey, study up first. Make yourself a ringer.
I am going to study.
All right. Well, that was fun. And we have we're running out of time here today. We're going to be back again tomorrow with more fun stuff. We have Jennifer has a number of guests lined up. And, of course, you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. I wanted to remind you to go back and take a listen to the Tack and Habit show. We did our first Tack and Habit from Ada, where we highlighted three products when we were live on location there. So you're going to want to go check out those products. They were three of our favorite products. And one of those was the airbag vests. And I don't know about you, or Helena. I don't know about you,
oh
Jamie, but we've been getting a lot of good response to the video of us getting blown up in the airbags. I've been getting a lot of people emailing me about that.
Oh, I know. A lot of people think it's quite funny to see us blow up and freak out and pee our pants, but whatever. I'm glad they're happy watching our misery.
I have a question for you, though. I was watching it with friends last night. We showed it to everybody at the Super Bowl party, and the question came up because you said in there after you got blown up and your face and your eyes were popping out of your head. By the way, you can see that video on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. So after your eyes were popping out of your head, we get blown up with the air vests and everything, you said, I think I peed myself a little. So the question came up last night at the Super Bowl party, did she in fact pee herself a little? And I had to be honest and say, you know, I didn't have the heart to look. So I guess that'll still be the question out there is, did Jamie pee herself a little?
Glenn, I'm going to go ahead and mention a news story that I read. you know, we can't have a day without a week without talking about Zenyatta. And by the way, that's my puppy's name is Zenyatta. We had several hundred fans line up in Seabiscuit Court at Santa Anita to get a glimpse of Penny Chenery and Team Zenyatta because that was a really smooth change of subject, by the way,
that
I just performed. So Penny Chenery gave out her Vox Populi Day Award, which was Voice of the People, and Team Zenyatta won that. So congratulations. That happened Saturday at Santa Anita. Listen to all the shows at thehorseradionetwork.com. And if you miss an episode, you can listen to a recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss one. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bye, everybody.
Do you have anything else to say?
No, that's pretty much it. Wear your helmet, have fun, and take some pictures of you and your helmet in very odd places.